Blog Talk Radio.
And praise the Lord, everybody. This is a Dr. Apostle Dr. Deborah Dean with the Anti-Men and Women Global Ministry, along with the Life Support Outreach Church and our prayer room ministry. And we're excited this evening to be on our radio broadcast on today. We're going to get ready. I just, first of all, give God reverence, who is my life, and to Apostle Deans in his absence, and to everyone under the sound of my voice, or to you, my brothers and sisters in Christ. I just give God praise for another opportunity to study the Word of God with each other. So we're going to have, first of all, a short devotion. We're going to have a scripture, a song, a prayer, and then we're going to get into our Bible class. So the scripture reading today will come from Psalms 124. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, when men rose up against us, then they had swallowed us up quick when their wrath was kindled against us. Then the waters had overwhelmed us. The streams had gone over our souls. Then the proud waters had gone over our souls. Blessed be the Lord, who have not given us as a prey to their teeth. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. I have just read you Psalms 124 in its entirety. May God richly add a blessing to the doers of his most holy word. We're going to have a song now.
Are they able? God is able. God is able, and he won't fail. God is able. God is able. God is able. Tell me who makes mountains move out of my way. Who makes a miracle because of my faith? And when the doctor says no, who can still say it? And when I'm in trouble, who's right there? God is able. God is able. God is able. Oh, I don't you dare give up, don't you dare. God is able and he knows.
Come humbly before your throne of grace on tonight, asking you to forgive us for every known and unknown sin, Father, that we committed against you. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we come tonight confessing and repenting and asking for forgiveness and cleansing through the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on tonight. Lord, we first of all just come giving you praise and glory. In the mighty name of Jesus, we come tonight, God, lifting your name up, God. And we come blessing you, God, giving you blessings and glorifying your name, God. And we just come thanking you for another opportunity to study your word on tonight. And Lord, we ask you on tonight to bind up the strong man from our lives. And Father, we bind the strong man from each one of our lives. Bind up the strong man from this radio broadcast. In the mighty name of Jesus, every demonic thing, God, we bind up right now from this radio broadcast and from our lives. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I ask you to open up our understanding on tonight. Open up our minds. Open up our hearts that we may receive and be receptive of what we receive. Your word, God, in the name of Jesus. Then I ask you to let me decrease that the Holy Ghost may increase and minister to us all on tonight, Lord. And we just thank you right now for this word, God, and we give you praise for each one that's under the sound of my voice, God. Cover all of us, God. Lord, we ask all these things in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen. Amen. We just give God praise and glory on tonight. We thank God again for another opportunity to be back on this radio broadcast for our Bible class on tonight. We're going to get ready to read on tonight. We give God the praise and glory tonight. We start in chapter 42. This one my paper have 42.
Oh no no.
We'll start reading. Now when Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, Jacob said unto his son, no, I think we did this one. Did we do this one? Let me see.
No, ma'am.
Okay, I just read it, so I'm okay. Chapter 42. Now when Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, Jacob said unto his sons, why do you look one upon another? And he said, behold, I have heard that there is corn in Egypt. Get ye down thither and buy from for us from thence that we may live. My God. And Joseph's 10 brothers went down to buy corn in Egypt. But Benjamin, Joseph's brother, Jacob sent not with them, with his brethren, for he said, lest peradventure mischief befall him. And the son of Israel came to buy corn among those that came, for the famine was in the land of Canaan, and Joseph was the governor over the land, and he it was that sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brethren came and bowed down themselves before him with their faces to the earth. And Joseph saw his brothers, and he knew them, but made himself strange unto them and spake roughly unto them. And he said unto them, whence come ye? And they said, from the land of Canaan to buy food. And Joseph knew his brothers, but they knew him not, knew not him. And Joseph remembered the dreams which he dreamed of them and said unto them, ye are spies to see the nakedness of the land, ye are come. And they said unto him, nay, my lord, but to buy food or thy servants come. And we are all one man's son, and we are true men, that thy servants are not spies. And he said unto them, nay, but to see the nakedness of the land ye are come. And they said, thy servants are 12 brethren, and some and the sons of one man in the land of Canaan. And behold, the youngest is this day with our father, and one is not. And Joseph said unto them, this is it that I spake unto you, saying, ye are spies. Hereby ye shall be proved. By the life of Pharaoh, ye shall not, except your youngest brother come hither. Send one of you and let him fetch your brother, and ye shall be kept in prison, that your word may be proved, whether there be any truth in you, or else by the life of Pharaoh, surely ye are spies. And he put them all together into a ward 3 days. And Joseph said unto them the third day, this do and live, for I fear God. If ye be true men, let one of your brethren be bound in the house of your prison. Go ye carry corn for the famine of your house, but bring your youngest brother unto me, so shall your word be verified, and ye shall die. And they did so. And they said one to another, we are verily guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he had besought us, and we would not hear. Therefore, in this distress call upon us. And Reuben answered them, saying, spake I not unto you, saying, do not sin against the child? And ye would not hear. Therefore, behold, also his blood is required. And they knew not that Joseph understood them, for he spake unto them by an interpreter. And he turned himself about from them and wept and returned to them again and consumed with them and took from them Simeon and bound him before their eyes. Then Joseph commanded to fill their sacks with corn and to restore every man's money into his sack and to give them provisions for the way, and thus did he unto them. And they laid their asses with corn and departed thence. And as one of them opened his sack to give his ass provender, in the end he espied his money, for behold, it was in his sack mouth. And he said unto his brethren, my money is restored, and lo, it is even my sack, it is in my sack. And their hearts failed them, and they were afraid, saying one to another, what is this that God hath done unto us? And they came unto Jacob, their father, unto the land of Canaan, and told him all that befell unto them, saying, the man who is the Lord of the land spake roughly to us, and took us for spies in the country. And we said unto him, we are true men who are not spies. We be 12 brethren, sons of one father, and one is not. And the youngest is this day with our father in the land of Canaan. And the man, the Lord of the country, said unto us, hereby shall I know that ye are true men. Leave one of your brethren here with me, and take food for the famine of your household, and be gone. And bring your youngest brother unto me, then shall I know that ye are no spies, but that ye are true men. So will I deliver you, your brethren, and ye shall traffic in the land. And it came to pass, as they emptied their sack, that behold, every man's bundle of money was in his sack. And when they and their father saw the bundles of money, they were afraid. And Jacob their father said unto them, me have ye bereaved of my children. Joseph is not, Simeon is not, and ye will take Benjamin away. All these things are against me. And Reuben spake unto his father, saying, slay my two sons if I bring him not to thee. Deliver him unto my hand, and I will bring him to thee again. And he said, my son shall not go down with you, for his brother is dead, and he is left alone. If mischief befall him by the way in the which you go, then shall ye bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave. Chapter 43. And the famine was sore in the land. And it came to pass when they had eaten up the corn which they had bought out of Egypt, their father said unto them, go again and buy us a little food. And Judah spake unto him, saying, the man did solemnly protest unto us, saying, ye shall not see my face except your brother be with you. If thou wilt send our brother with us, we will go down and buy the food. But if thou wilt not send him, we will not go down. For the man said unto us, ye shall not see my face, except your brother be with you. And Israel said, wherefore dealt ye so ill with me, as to tell the man whether ye had yet a brother? And they said, the man asked us straightly of our state and of our kindred, saying, is your father yet alive? Have yet another brother? And we told him according to the tender of these words. Could we certainly know that he would say, bring your brother down? And Judah said unto Israel, his father, send the lad with us, and we will arise and go, that we may live and not die, both we and thou, and also our little ones. I will be surety for him. Of my hand shall thou require him. If I had not unto thee and set him before thee, then least me bear the blame forever. For except we have lingered, surely now we have returned this second time. And their father Israel said unto them, if it must be so now, do this. Take of the best fruit in the land in your vessels and carry down the man a present, a little balm and a little honey, spice and myrrh, nuts and almonds, and take double money in your hand, and the money that was brought again in the mouth of your sacks, carry it again in your hand. Peradventure it was an oversight. Again, an oversight. Take also your brother and arise, go again unto the man. And God Almighty gave you mercy before the man, that he might send away your other brother and Benjamin. If I be bereaved of my children, I am bereaved. And the man took the present, and they took the money in their hand, and Benjamin, and rose up and went down to Egypt and stood before Joseph. And when Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the ruler of the house, bring these men home and slay and make ready, for these men shall dine with me at noon. And the men did as Joseph bade. And the man brought the men unto Joseph's house. And the men were afraid because they were brought into Joseph's house. And they said, because of the money that was returned in our sack at the first time, or we brought in, that he may seek occasion against us and fall upon us and take us for bondsmen and our asses. And they came near to the steward of Joseph's house, and they communed with him at the door of the house and said, O sir, we came indeed down at the first time to buy food, and it came to pass when we came to the inn that we opened our sacks, and behold, every man's money was in the mouth of his sack, and our money in the full weight, and we have brought it again in our hands, and other money have we brought down in our hands to buy food. We could not tell who put our money in our sack. And he said, peace be to you. Fear not. Your God and the God of your father have given you treasures in your sack. I had your money, and he brought Simeon out unto them. And the man brought the men into Joseph's house and gave them water, and they washed their feet, and he gave their asses provender. And they made ready the presents against Joseph. The presents against Joseph came at noon, for they heard that they should eat bread there. And when Joseph came home, they brought him the present which was in their hands into the house and bowed down themselves to him, to the earth. And he asked them of their welfare and said, is your father well, the old man of whom you spake? Is he yet alive? And they answered, thy servant, our father, is in good health. He is yet alive. And they bowed down their heads and made absence. And he lifted up his eyes and saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son, and said, is he a younger brother of whom ye spake unto me? And he said, God be gracious unto thee, my son. And Joseph made haste, for his bowels did yearn upon his brother, and he sought where to weep. And he entered into his chambers and wept there. And he washed his face and went out and refrained himself and said, set on bread. And they set on for him by himself and for them by themselves and for the Egyptians which did eat with him by themselves, because the Egyptians might not eat bread with the Hebrews, for that this is an abomination unto the Egyptians, I'm sorry. And said before him, and the firstborn according to his birthright, and the youngest according to his youth. And the men marveled one at another. And he took and sent messages unto them from before him. But Benjamin's mess was five times so much as any, and they drank and were merry with him. Amen. Amen, amen. We're going to get ready to answer these questions. Okay, the first question is, who was left behind when Joseph's 10 brothers went to Egypt? Who was left behind? Which brother was left there with Jacob?
Benjamin.
Mhm. Yeah, Benjamin was left there with Jacob. Why did they leave Benjamin there?
Well, Jacob, he was afraid to allow him to go, really, because, you know, they had did some trickery stuff with Joseph, and so he really, you know, didn't want him to go. So he wanted Benjamin to stay there.
Uh-huh. Amen. What was Joseph's official title in the land of Egypt? His official title.
He was the governor, right?
Amen. Mm-hmm. When Joseph saw his brothers, did he recognize them?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Did his brothers recognize him?
No.
What did Joseph accuse of his brothers? What did he say that they were when they came to him?
Spies. They were spies.
Okay. What did Joseph do to all of his brothers? What did he do to all of them?
He put them in prison.
Mm-hmm. For how many days?
3 days.
Mm-hmm. Why did Joseph's brothers think this was happening to them? Why did they think this bad luck or whatever it was, calamity, whatever it was happening to them? They thought it was happening because they thought they were being repaid of what they did to Joseph. They had done to their brother. Who did Joseph keep behind while the other brothers took the grain back home? Do anybody remember that? Who did Joseph keep
behind
other brothers?
Simeon.
Yeah. Uh-huh. What did Joseph put in each brother's sack? What did he put in their sack?
Corn. And money.
Uh-huh. He put the corn and the money in there. And how did they feel when this was discovered? How did they feel?
They was afraid.
Mm-hmm. They were scared because they brought the money and gave it to them for Joseph to buy corn. And he had instructed his men to put the corn in their sacks and put the money back in the sack because he knew who they were. So he didn't want to take their money. He didn't want to take their money. He sent it back. And then he was trying to make them afraid too so they could bring their younger brother back. And they were so afraid and they thought God was doing this as a punishment too for them doing that to Joseph. And so they were so afraid, you know, and then that to have that money in their sack, they would be called thieves too. Mm-hmm. So we're going to go on to chapter 43. When did Jacob decide to let his sons go back to Egypt? When did he decide to let them go back? Because, you know, they came back and told Jacob all that had happened and that they kept them in prison for 3 days. And then he told them to go back and leave Simeon there and get the brother, the youngest brother. So they told their daddy what all happened and stuff like that. So, so his dad was like, y'all can go, but Benjamin not going, you know. So when did he decide to let his sons go back to Egypt?
When the famine was sore?
Yeah. When the grain ran out, when they food, because they had sent corn, Joseph had sent corn back with them. And so when that corn and grain and stuff ran out, then the little ones was getting hungry. They knew they didn't have no food for the little ones. So he said, well, go on. You know, I don't want to say too much. And what did he send with his sons to Egypt? What did he send when the men went back, when they decided, he decided to let them go back? What did he send with them?
He said, go again and buy us a little food.
And what else? Mm-hmm. He warned.
Oh, he said, ye shall not. Okay. And Judah spake unto him, saying, the man did solemnly protest unto us, saying, ye shall not see my face, except your brother be with you.
That's right. So he sent his brother. He sent Benjamin, and he sent money. The first money that was in their sack, he sent that money. He sent some more money, and he sent Benjamin. Mm-hmm. He sent that money that was already that he had sent and they had put back in their sack. He sent that money back, and then he sent Benjamin back too with him. Mm-hmm. He sent Benjamin back with him. And a gift offering or something he sent with myrrh and stuff like that. He sent that back too. What were the brothers afraid of when Joseph invited them to dinner? What was the brothers afraid of?
That he was going to accuse them of being thieves.
Mm-hmm. Because why? Because they had that money. He put that money in their sack.
Right.
And they
thought they were being set up.
Mm-hmm. So did Joseph do when he saw Benjamin?
He wept. He cried.
Mm-hmm. He cried. Mm-hmm. He
yeah,
wanted,
and
he
see,
come on, baby.
Yeah, and the thing of this is that Benjamin and Joseph was born by the same Rachel.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so they was, you know, whole brothers. And so when he finally saw Benjamin, you know, he went in the room and he cried and he wept and fixed himself up. But it was just a blessing to see him, you know, because that was his whole brother. And so that was the reaction, you know, when he finally saw his whole brother. You know, and
mm-hmm.
he was the baby boy, but he was his mother's, you know, second child. But that was his baby brother as well. And, you know, that was the response to seeing his brother. You know, he cried. He hadn't seen him in years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how many years was that? 13 years.
What was it? Well, but it was.
It was a long time.
He was 40 then. And Benjamin
he was
40
then.
Mm-hmm. He was 22. Benjamin was 22. He was a young man. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he was just happy to see him, like you said, because they were four brothers. They were whole brothers. The same mother, same father. Mm-hmm. And, I don't know if Joseph remember Benjamin when he was a kid or the lady had him afterwards or something. I don't know. But I got to read up on that for it. But he was just happy to see his brother. The half-brothers was okay, but they was by different women, and some of them women didn't come from the right place and all that. But Joseph couldn't wait to see Benjamin. And his daddy didn't want to let Benjamin go. Mm-hmm. He was just yearning for his brother. So he ran into his own chambers, his private chambers room, and cried. Mm-hmm. How did Joseph see his brother? How did he see them when they was finna have lunch with him?
According to their birthright or their
age. Mm-hmm. Yep, according to their ages. Mm-hmm. And birthright. You're right. And the birthright. You're absolutely right. I didn't even see that. Mm-hmm. According to their ages and birthright. I wonder what them birthrights got to do with it.
I know.
How did Joseph treat Benjamin? Mm-hmm. It says in verse 34, it says, and he took and sent message unto them from before him. But Benjamin's mess was five times so much as any of theirs, and they drank and were merry with him. So it means he gave Benjamin five times as much of whatever his mess is. I don't even know what mess is, but he gave him five times as much because he loved his brother. And let me see. And mess mean portion. I just looked it up. And that when he was doing that, giving him large amounts of large portions of stuff, they could see his affection for his own brother. You know, they could see that he had deeper feelings for Benjamin. But they still didn't catch on to who Joseph was. But they saw he had more feelings for Benjamin because he got two or three times as much as they did. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they was getting some kind of feeling, I'm sure. I'm sure. It was his dreams when they was bowing down to him. It was his dreams coming alive from when he was a kid, from when he was a boy. Those dreams came right on alive because when they came there to get that food or whatever, they buy that grain and corn and stuff, they bowed right down just as if he was telling them what he dreamed, the visions and dreams that God was giving him when he was a little boy. And it didn't come to pass. You see how that was? He was a kid when he was dreaming that stuff. But it waited all those years. He was 40 years old when that stuff came to pass. I'm telling you, this how long sometimes it takes some things to happen when you dream. When God gives you a dream, it don't seem long to God, but it's a long time to us. I would say he was 17, and now he's 40. Those are the years between that. 23 years? That was a good time, good long time. And so That's what we have to know. Sometimes things don't happen overnight. God shows us dreams and visions. They don't just happen overnight. And then all the stuff he had to go through to get where he is that day, 40 years later, all of that's being sold, being a slave. Every time he was a slave, he was a servant or he was a slave to somebody, but God was always with Joseph, but he was always serving or he was a slave all the time. You know what I'm saying? He was going through this stuff. That's why I say a lot of times for us to get where God wants us to be, we have to go through things. You just don't make it like that. And some of those things, most of those things are uncomfortable. We in uncomfortable places when we go through those things. But, honey, after a while, what do they say? Trouble don't last always. Those things don't last always. Mm-hmm. And they was beating him and doing everything in the prison, some of them. You know, because when he prophesied, when he interpreted the dreams for the butler, and the baker wanted to kill him because he told him exactly what the dream was, that he was going to get his head cut off and he wasn't going to come back. And the birds was going to eat the skin, the flesh off his body. He didn't like that. He put Joseph right back in a stockade or something, and they let him out again. Yes, they did. But this is what I'm saying. Things don't come easy. We go through things. We go through things. But in the end, when it's God's timing, you'll be sitting up shouting, taking a praise break. Won't he do it? Because he would have done it. But in his timing, we can't rush him. We can't, you know, whatever we're trying to do, good and all this kind of stuff, he's not going to be moved by that. But he wants us to be patient. And while we're waiting, he's working on our faith and on our character. He's building our faith and character. That's why I was telling a prophetess, Sally, the other day, or yesterday, whenever day it was, about how God waits to a proper time. He'll tell you, this King David, 8 years old. He don't turn king till he get 30. So it's always all that time in between for your character be forming you. He be building you and making your character and molding you and shaping you and taking you through situations and bringing you out. And as sure as he take you through these situations, he going to bring you out of the situation. And does anyone have any comments or anything? I'm just going on. Everybody comment. Anybody can comment whenever they get ready, cause you know we got about 12-13 minutes to go. But this is what I was telling her. It's always a time for molding. It's always a time that he builds our character. He builds our faith, and allows us to go through this and allows us to go through that. And by the time it's time for us to do what he needs us to do, we ready. We ready. King David was ready to be king. He couldn't be king like doing all the things he was doing. But when he really got a chance to be king, he was king, and he was still doing stuff. But he was a man after God's own heart, and God loved David. Even though he committed adultery, killed a man, and all that, we all have done something here and there, and sin and fall short of the glory of God. And so if they did something, and God brought it out and let us read about it and study it, he loved King David, the shepherd boy. He loved us the same way. He loved Joseph. He was with Joseph every whatever he went through. Because when he got in there, when the butler and the baker got in there, He had to tend to them. He had to serve them, make sure they had food, make sure they had water. Anything they needed, Joseph had to get for them. He had to get for them. And when he told the baker that your head was going, Pharaoh's going to cut your head off, and the birds is going to eat the flesh off your bones, that man was ready to kill Joseph. But they got him. They got him. And just what he said happened, happened. So, and because Joseph was going to tell the truth whether you got him or not. You know, so it's a lot of times we be going through things, honey, when I tell you, you feel like don't nobody know how bad it is but you. And, of course, don't nobody know but you and God. Always know that we all go through something. We all go through something, you know. And God always bring us out. And when we get out of it, we have patience. You know, we have even to work and build our faith. We trust him more. You know, you ain't going to hear no negativity in our vocabulary. You know, you cast that stuff down. You know, it takes God to do these things. We can't do, we don't know what make us the way he want us to be. But he knows what we need in order for us to get where he want us to be. And to whom much is given, much is required. We talk about we want to be holy and we want to live like this and we got this calling on our lives and we got this and that. That stuff requires some things to come behind it. It's not free. It's not free. Not apostles are not free. Bishops are not free. Prophets are not free. That stuff, that handle on your name don't come free. You go through something to get those titles. You don't even have to tell nobody what title you carry. But the load you carry to get the title don't tell everybody what you've been through. You don't get it just by like that. Now, you can say I'm apostle this or I'm bishop this or I'm prophet that. But your work, the fruit, gonna show. Your fruit gonna show. It could be good or bad, it's gonna show. And we'll know. You know, because people be going through a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff. I'm telling you. And it's not easy. It's not easy. Believe me, it's not. I just thank God for allowing us to him to bring us through these things, because I'm telling you, it's something. And you have to deal with people, people in the church and people out of the church and heathens and all kind of people. You have to deal with them, and you have to stand your apostle ground, and you have to prophet ground, and you have to stand. You know, they're going to say some hurting things. They're going to do some hurting things. And you got to stand. You got to stand. You know, and it don't come easy. Like Joseph. He was so hurt. His brother sold him. How would we feel if our sister or brother sold us to somebody else when we was little? And we went from here and to there. But God was with him, and he protected him, and God will protect us. We have any comments?
Yeah, I was doing some writing yesterday. Hello?
Mm-hmm. I'm here.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Hey, God bless everybody. I was laying up with I felt the Lord had me to, I wrote out some things. And I was writing, he was just talking about a lot of what he was saying. He was letting me know that he's with me, he's for me. And he was talking about no good thing will he withhold from those that walk uprightly. And that he said he got to understand everything is according to his
time, you know, and mm-hmm. I haven't heard him say that in a good while, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's just what I wanted to say. He was talking to me about things being done and happening in his time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, brother, because I'm telling you, his timing is not our timing. I'm telling you, he owns time, he made time. And sometimes we be in a hurry. We be in a hurry. And it's not going to happen till God say it to happen. It's not going to happen. I don't care what we do. And it's because our development. He's trying to get our development on. He's trying to get us. I'm telling you, because it took me all these years to get where I am today. I ain't nobody. I'm just what God would have me to be. But it took me all of these years. He already knew all the stuff I've been through, all the things that has happened. God was with me when I had the first heart attack. He was with me 30 years ago. So, and he with me now. But the thing about it is, see, the devil always trying to take the credit from God. Always trying to take. Now, when I went to the doctor today, they trying to say I didn't even need the defibrillator. And I believe I knew I didn't. But they actually told me today that I didn't even need it because God had already healed my heart. My heartbeat wasn't 35, it was 50. So they just played a game and got some money, but still God healed my heart. They already knew my heart rate was 50. They already knew that. But God did a miracle. He did the heart. They just put the defibrillator in there 3 days later. They already knew it because I took the test on the 16th. I had the surgery on the 19th. I don't even need this thing. But it's okay. I ain't going to go and tell them to take it out. I'm going to leave it right there because God didn't have to allow it. So I'm going to leave it there. But they told me today, he said, if your heart rate don't reach 40, we're going to put it in there. My heart rate was 50. The test, they gave me my test back today. But that's okay. I give God all the praise. He did a miracle because my heart rate hadn't been 50. For the two times before then, it was 35, 37, 38. This time, it was 50. Don't tell me what God won't do. Don't tell me what he won't do. He did a miracle on my heart before they even put the defibrillator in. My heart rate was 50. So I thank and praise God today. They ain't going to take no credit for this. It all go to God. And I would let them take it out if they wanted to take it out. They done took me through all that pain. But these are the things you have to go through to get where God wants you to be. When I tell you, we have to experience some things to get that, whatever God is trying to perfect in us, to get it there. Now, I'm ready to roll. I got God. If God allow me to prophesy whatever he tell me to do, I'm ready. I'm ready to be used by God, and he knows I'm ready. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to give y'all that testimony right here at this moment because I want y'all to see what I had to go through. And then, you know, I ain't going to say I didn't need it, but my heart rate was 50. I had said I wasn't going to get it. I wasn't going to take it. I wasn't going to get it. I wasn't going to take it. But I went on and did it, and it had God allowed me to do it. So it had to be for a reason. But the doctor told me on today that my heart rate was 50. So, but I thank and praise God because, you know, like I said, if the defibrillator had been in there, they would have said the defibrillator did it. But the defibrillator didn't do it. God did it. I just want to give God all the praise today. I know who did it. I know who did it. So I just thank and praise God. And the elevation that God bestowed on me, that's why. Because, you know, you go through some really just horrific stuff, but it's for a reason. And I thank God to allow me to go through the things that I do. I just thank God on today. I thank God. So, you know, I just want to encourage each one of you. I want to encourage y'all on today and keep studying and keep doing the things that you do and let God speak to you, because God is speaking to each one of us. He talks to us even through dreams and visions. And when you study that word of God, the words will be almost about to jump off the paper. And I thank God for tonight. Do we have any more comments before we get ready to close out on tonight? Mm-hmm. He thought he was going to take the credit from God. I don't take no credit from God. I give God all the praise. Whatever happened good to me, God did. See, whatever happened good for me, God did. The devil ain't going to do nothing good for you. Never. So I just, like I said, I want to give y'all that praise report, what God did. He did a miracle on my heart, because it was at 35, between 35 and 38. And that's why they wanted to put a defibrillator in. But before they put the defibrillator in, God got it up to 50. So I thank and praise God on today. I give him glory, and I ain't going to take it back. So we're going to get ready to close out. I just thinking next week we're on 44 and 45. We getting on through with this. This is a blessing. Because we got Exodus, Prophet Sally will be sending out those papers as soon as she can, so you could get those to your email. I want to make sure I got everybody's email so she can send the Exodus papers out, the questions out. Amen. So, Father, we just thank you tonight. I ask you to bless everyone under the sound of my voice on tonight. Lord, I ask you to bless them and encamp angels all around them and their families, Lord. Bless their automobiles, Lord. Bless their homes, God. Keep it covered. Keep each one of their homes covered under the blood. Lord, we thank you for this word on tonight. We thank you for ministering to us on tonight, God. And we thank you, Lord, for being the lift up of our heads, God. We give you glory and praise you for everything, God. We praise and we glorify your name. We just thank you today, Lord. We give you praise. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. God bless you all. You all have a wonderful night, and we'll see you right back here on Thursday. God bless. Have a good night.
Amen.
God bless you.
Amen. Amen. God bless you.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Amen. Bless you.
Amen.